your superhero, or even if I tumble fall.
All right, hey everybody, welcome to Chiefs Live on a Tuesday at noon here at One Arrowhead Drive. Man, Brad, you finally hooked up the intro music there. I guess you got to fill in for the man, Soren Petra, on Red Zone for 2 weeks in a row, and then you get your music.
You ask, and you shall receive.
Well, that was some pretty sweet entourage music, but I was actually wanting the Nick Lowry NFL Films, this Shining Moment theme music, really.
Complain much?
Well, I'll tell you what I could complain about was the game, 37-7, Charger defeated Arrowhead. Why not sidestep? Let's jump right into it. You know, the team finally celebrating their first win in nearly a year. November 30th, 2008, to be exact, it was a win at Oakland. Hopes were high. We got to see what the Chiefs could do coming off a victory. Could they parlay a win into two? The last time the Chiefs won back-to-back games was way back in 2007. They won in week 6, and then they won again in week 7. And what was week 8? Well, week 8 was the bye. Well, what's 2009? Well, we beat Washington week 6. San Diego's coming in town in week 7. Week 8's the bye. Coincidence? I don't know. I'm not that superstitious, but I knew that the Chargers were coming off a short week, an emotional loss. I thought that the settings were right for the Chiefs to play one of their patented classic games against the San Diego team, 12 games within 1 point by the two teams in the series. And I thought that it would be a tight game that came down to the final minutes in Arrowhead, and I liked the Chiefs' chances. Well, you know, I was wrong, and I think a lot of Chiefs fans were. Todd Haley said he was wrong. They said the Chiefs had their best Friday practice of the year. And to people who aren't around football a lot, that may not sound like much, saying, who cares? You had a good Friday practice. That doesn't mean you're going to win. Well, actually, yeah, lots of times it does. Lots of times when you have a bad Friday practice, which in college ranks is equivalent to a Thursday practice, that's when you take everything, all of your game plan, and you put it into one day, and it's still full speed. You're basically in uppers. It's not just your walkthrough. It's still got some contact to it. Some thud is what they call it. You're not bringing guys down, but you're thudding, and you're going through everything at full speed. You're going through your base offense and defense, some of your special teams, and you're just putting everything in you've learned about the opponent into one. And when you go through a great practice like that, typically a coach leaves happy. I heard Dick Vermeil on the radio earlier this week, and he was saying the same thing. He said, "Man, I would just almost get depressed after a poor Friday practice and think we don't have a chance to win." And when you have a good Friday practice, you're like, "Wow, our guys are ready to go." And that's the way Coach Haley felt. And you know, it was smoke and mirrors, because obviously the Chargers jumped out to a 20-0 lead before the Chiefs even had a first down. There was a small little boost there we talked about yesterday on the turning point that got the Chiefs back in the game after a scoring drive and a 3-and-out. It was 20-7. The Chiefs had the ball back close to midfield. Looked like, hey, they may be able to do something here. No, buzzkill's gone. Chiefs go 3-and-out. Darren Sproles delivers the dagger, 27-7, and that was game, set, match. So really, there was a glimmer of hope, and that glimmer was very thin. You know, Brad, I got a couple things I want to talk about before we get into the thing that everybody wants to talk about, which is running back Larry Johnson. But, you know, we were setting up for the show, and obviously we've been running around here a little bit over the last day at Arrowhead. Imagine why. Matt from North Carolina called before the show started and wants to talk about something I'm sure we'll get 1 to 2 calls on today, probably max. Mm-hmm. And heck, you know, let's jump into it right now, and then we'll run down some other things from the game, and then we'll open it back up to LJ. So Matt from North Carolina, you're on the line, man. I guess early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, hey, Josh. Good to talk to you today. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem, Matt.
I wanted to comment, first of all, watching the game on Sunday. Are you guys hearing me okay?
I can hear you. I'm listening pretty decently. Were you good over there, Brad?
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just getting a lot of echo. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you perfect now. Brad just got the audio figured out. There we go.
Sorry about that. Matt fixed it.
Basically, watching the game on Sunday, and I actually thought this the last couple of weeks, that LJ is a little bit slow hitting the holes. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wondered about it and thought, you know what, hey, Haley sees it in practice and stuff, so maybe he's okay. But then Jamal comes in really hitting the holes, and actually Haley kind of commented on the that this week. But then this whole junk comes out this week. You know, we had the off season with LJ when he was saying, "Get me out of Kansas City. I'm done." And
right, right.
Kansas City, and Todd Haley gave him a break, gave him another chance. Because really, we control what happens to LJ.
Oh yeah, he was. We cut him before the end of the season, and he's out a lot of money. He makes the opening day roster. He gets the veteran vested. And now, you know, the Chiefs, if they were to cut him today, are on the hook for $1.9 million. So, yeah, that I think I know where you're going, Matt, and I'll let you continue. But just wanted to step in and say that's what makes the situation even more bizarre, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think Todd Haley, obviously, he wouldn't comment on it during the press conference, which is wise. I mean, he's. Like you said on your little blog, he's taking the high road.
Right.
But also, he did make some comments that I think give us a little idea of where he's heading with this. He really built up Jamal Charles. He really built up Colby Smith in that press conference. And my question for you is, where does this leave Scott Pioli? What are our options? You know, if we trade Larry Johnson, I just honestly don't see a great market out there for Larry right now with his attitude.
Right.
He's really not. I mean, his average per rush, I think, was like, not even three, I don't think. So I don't know that the trade value, I don't think anybody wants him. If we release him, we take a big hit financially.
Yeah, $1.9 million.
If you demote him, now we've got a locker room cancer on the team. I don't think you can do to Larry Johnson what we've done to Derek Johnson and Jared Pate without there being serious team locker room issues.
Yeah.
And I guess right now it almost seems that we're going to have to bite the bullet. And take the hit financially and say, Larry, because if Jamal Charles is the guy to start, Larry is not going to be quiet. I mean, he's not going to take it.
Right.
I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that, and I'll just hang up and listen to you. Thanks a lot, Josh.
Yeah, sure, Matt. Thanks for your call. Yeah, we'll talk about this later in the show. You've outlined a ton of points that I was going to touch on. The Chiefs are in a hard spot here. You're right. There's not many options. You can release a runner. And you take the financial hit, which at this point, with the things that goes on, is it worth 1.9? Your opportunity cost, the things you learn in basic economics, it may very well be. You can deactivate a guy, and then as you said, you've got him sitting out and around the team, a locker room cancer. This is the one thing, Matt, that a lot of people don't know about LJ. He's gotten that tag a lot. LJ's not a locker room cancer. I will say that. It may be publicly bad. He may not say the right things if Jamal Charles ends up starting over deactivated Larry Johnson publicly. But he shares a locker next to Jamal Charles. The two hang out a lot outside of Arrowhead. LJ hosts the running backs a lot at his house. I'm not necessarily concerned about LJ in this situation with his teammates. I never have been through any of the things that LJ's gone through. Him and his teammates have always been okay. Now, his teammates have had to bite the bullet sometimes and answer some tough questions about LJ, and it's definitely, there's distractions there. And do distractions ultimately put a team in a less of a chance to win? That's something to take into consideration. But as far as a relationship between Larry and his teammates, I don't see that declining. Quite frankly, they're friends, just like me and my friends and you and your friends. There can be a lot of scenarios. Larry's not going to be a guy who throws a teammate under the bus. I'll say that. Now, if he stays around, what's his relationship with Haley? I don't know. I thought it was great. That's what's so bizarre about the situation. You have Coach Haley, a guy who's been publicly backing a struggling Larry Johnson. Struggling. Worst average, worst start to his career. Doesn't have a 100-yard game yet. Doesn't have a ground score. By the way, the Rams are the only other team in the NFL without a ground score, and that will probably change this weekend as they play Detroit. So likely after this bye week, the Chiefs will be the only team in the NFL without a ground score. This is a guy, Larry Johnson. What did he score? I don't even know. I have to check the media guide. 17 touchdowns, something in 2006 when he ran for 1,700 yards. A ton of scores. Easily, it's been his worst start to date, and he's had a fan base piling on him even before all this stuff. Throw out the stuff that's happened in the last 48 hours. Throw that out the window. Even before that, he had fans piling on him. Hey, Jamal Charles is a guy who needs to get low looks. What about Colby Smith? And Larry's had to weather all that and the questions. But the one thing that's remained consistent has been Coach Haley's support of him. and Matt Cassel's support of him, and the players' support of him, which doesn't surprise me on the player front. But Coach Haley's a guy who is very public about guys who need to turn things up. Derek Johnson, case in point. Jared Page, a healthy and active this weekend, case in point. Jared Page is a healthy and active. He needs to step his game up. John McGraw's playing better. John McGraw starts. Page is inactive. There you go. It's not something that I would see Coach Haley shying away from. So in the end, it makes it all the more bizarre. It put Coach Haley a rock in a hard spot. And quite frankly, Matt, I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do. Their options are limited. You're right. The trade, that's out of the question until the offseason. You can't trade anybody right now. So you want to get rid of him now, you got to release him. If you deactivate him, you're going to be dealing with the NFLPA, with grievances. You're going to be dealing with the league. The league may come in and say something. And if they do, then that offers a little more insight to the Chiefs' options. If they don't and it's on the club, there's all sorts of different scenarios to look at. And each one of those scenarios leads down a different road. And that's why Scott Pioli's brought in to make the decisions he does. I don't know where they're going to go with it. I have my opinions on the matter and what I think they should do, but quite frankly, what I think doesn't matter. What you think, Matt, and what the rest of the Chiefs fans think, and we'll open up the line for more calls today, that's what really matters. It's what Scott Pioli, Todd Haley, Clark Hunt, and the Chiefs fans think. That's all that matters. You guys are the ones who come out and support a 1-6 team. You guys are the ones who fill the stadium, who have made 50 years of Chiefs football what it is, who have the loyalty to suffer through what we're going through right now. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you guys think and what Coach Haley thinks and what Scott Pioli thinks. Guys, we will open up the lines. I do want to talk about a few positives from the game, and I also want to say the next two callers that call in, actually I got three of them. These Chiefs military hats right here, they were given away to soldiers, over 1,200 of them. It was Military Appreciation Day on Sunday, and quite frankly, that was the biggest positive of this weekend. And it was off the field, but the Chiefs were down, what was it, Brad, 20-0 at halftime, and we saw a bunch of fallen soldiers honored at halftime. We saw some players swear it in an enlisting ceremony with the Army.
Just an all-out outstanding military tribute by the Chiefs. I know we're with the Chiefs and all, but I've heard a lot of response back from people that
this is the thing that each year it's similar, but when you see, I mean, you see tears in the press box, you see tears out there, there's a standing ovation, you see the military members who have died for our freedom, making us so we can sit here and talk Chiefs football instead of going and fighting in Kabul or Tor, wherever guys are, all over the Middle East. We've got troops everywhere, and that's Germany, we've got them in Japan, all over the world, making sure we can enjoy football. And when you see those guys and women, their pictures flash up on the Jumbotron of the ones who have died over the past year, it's very moving, and it was a great tribute. So that's my positive number one. So people who call anyway, well, we got on that off that subject a little bit. If you call in, just tell me, one, what you think about the Larry Johnson thing, because what you think matters, and tell me why you're a Chiefs fan and why you're remaining loyal through this, and you'll hold on the line and we'll get your address, and I've got three, the next three callers can get them, and I'll mail you a Chiefs military. They're pretty good hats, actually. They're the exact same print that the soldiers wear, so it should be good. The on-field positives, Brad, well, you had a couple runs by Jamaal Charles. Lance Long looks like a guy who might be an exciting player to watch. Kind of reminds me of a Mark Boerichter type from the slot.
I think once again, even though we ended up not getting any sacks, I think the progression of young guys like Tyson Jackson and Glenn Dorsey was also positive to see. I mean, there could have had 4 or 5 sacks in that game. Phillip Rivers gets rid of the ball quick, one of the best in the league at doing it. But although we didn't register any sacks, it was still good to see those young D linemen get a push up front.
Yeah, I agree. This one's hard, Brad, because most games I'll come out here and I'll have a long list of positives. I can find it, the individual performances, the steps of progress that this team needs to make. each game I usually have a handful. I've got a couple maybe they're positive. And Corey Mays' stop of LT at the goal line when they met in the air, that was pretty awesome. Play of the game. Like I said, Lance Long came in. Maybe he'll be an exciting guy, and that's about it. Jamal Charles a couple runs, but then he goes and misses that block, and the punt gets blocked. So really there was nothing for the Chiefs to hang their hat on in this game. But the thing that they can hang their hat on and the thing that fans can take positive, if anything, away from this game was the salute to the military. And we have a recap of that. Brad, do you have a video from everything we're on? Then we'll get back in and talk to the LJ stuff. I want people with – it's kind of got buried on the website yesterday, and I think it's one of the most important things that happened this entire weekend. So I'd like everybody to see it.
This past Sunday, the Chiefs hosted over 1,200 local military personnel as the team saluted the dedication, devotion, and bravery of all those who have served or are serving in our armed forces during the club's Military Appreciation Day at Arrowhead versus San Diego. The day's festivities began with a pregame ceremony honoring past, present, and future members of the military. And it included a flyover of four Black Hawk helicopters from the Assault Helicopter Battalion out of Fort Riley, Kansas. At halftime, there was a special recognition of local men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice to protect and preserve our freedom over the past year. I know the sacrifice, oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor. Approximately 100 military personnel unfolded a giant flag and saluted their fallen comrades as four T-6As from Vance Air Force Base flew over Arrowhead. The halftime festivities concluded when 40 men and women participated in a U.S. Army induction.
All right, Chiefs fans, we're back. Absolutely amazing halftime pregame ceremony, and it is every year. Veterans Day, I believe, is November 11th. It's a Wednesday, and it'll be upcoming, and that's when, as a country, we will talk about our soldiers. I do have a little news here. some of the folks on Twitter had called this transaction earlier in the day. The Chiefs have brought Quentin Lawrence back to the practice squad. He cleared waivers this weekend. He was obviously waived so Lance Long could come up from the practice squad. So basically we have a flip-flop, Lance Long up, Quentin Lawrence down. He clears waivers. He is I actually saw him in the building yesterday, and I saw him head out to practice today, which is going on as we speak. And but it made it official. The Chiefs, I didn't want to jump the gun and say that he joined the practice squad in case there was a release made and Quentin was back on the active roster. But he is indeed back on the practice squad. So 2009 sixth-round draft pick Quentin Lawrence joins seventh-round draft pick Javaris Williams on the practice squad. Those are the two Scott Pioli, Todd Haley draft picks to have been released this year, and they are both now on the practice squad. So all draft picks are still part of this Chiefs organization. We did mention a lot of you guys tune into the blog for practice updates, and practice is going on right now. So obviously I can't be two places at once. We went with Chiefs live. Adam Pellegrino is usually the guy that takes your calls, and he is out there on the practice field. He'll be checking in with us here shortly and give us the full practice report. Is LJ out at practice today? That's number one question. The rest of the questions are, I had a question about Quentin Lawrence. I think we just answered that. And then we have some injury concerns, especially up front. Rudy Neiswanger, who's out? Is Sean Ryan went down for the count? Is Lance Long practicing after that concussion he suffered? So we'll get a little bit of a practice report from Adam Pellegrino. He'll call on the line. But, hey, let's jump straight back in the LJ situation. Took a little bit of a time out to talk about the military. Very important. But here is the, unfortunately, the most important and most thought about topic facing this Chiefs organization. Tony's local. He's from Grain Valley. Tony, you're on the line, man. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what I was wondering about LJ is how many chances are we going to give him? I mean, this goes all the way back to Ramil, all the way back to when he was complaining about not getting enough playing time. It goes through that, the domestic abuse. I'm all for giving a guy a second chance, but he's had three, maybe four already.
Yeah, Tony, I think that your comment right there is a unanimous comment across the Chiefs kingdom. I think that everyone was giving him his second chance going into this season. This was LJ's second chance per se. He had told us he had cleaned up some things, and we trusted him. All is see, but personally, I really like LJ. I'm just gonna put that out there as a disclaimer. I really like him. Just from the time I've known him over the last 4 years, I like him personally, and I'm disappointed in what happened. I really am personally, as a friend to LJ, I'm very disappointed. And you're right, Tony, and that's the thing that each one of us are asking: how many chances continue to come to a guy? And I don't know. And Tony, here we go. We have a statement here on Larry Johnson that just is released by the Chiefs. I've been handed to from Pete Morris from our Public Relations Department. Statement on Larry Johnson, October 27, 2009. The Kansas City Chiefs and the National Football League are continuing to investigate the alleged comments made by Larry Johnson. Underline there, alleged. Until the review is complete, the Chiefs have instructed Larry to refrain from practicing with the Chiefs or participating in any team activities. A decision regarding Larry's status will be made once the investigation has concluded. So Larry is not at practice right now. Thank you, Pete. And he is not in the building. He has been basically, for a better word, suspended indefinitely by the team, I guess you could say. If he can't they didn't use that word, that's my own word, but essentially that is exactly what happened. Keep Tony on the line real quick. I do want to talk to him. Sorry, Tony, breaking news is tied in with your thing.
That is.
Yeah, so he's not going to be here for anything right now. And the alleged comments made by Larry Johnson, that's the key that they're reviewing. Now, they've been printed. Larry's agent has said that from the Twitter stuff about Todd Haley, which, by the way, the league, that I don't think they would care about that. That's our own thing. It's the references towards homosexuals and the thing that happened in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah, the locker room, which is under his breath.
Right, which is – and that's, I think, where the alleged thing is – none of us have heard audio tape of that yet. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I Kent Babb, I don't think, would run with it if he wasn't 100% sure. But until the league and the team obviously hear, see whatever that audio for themselves, because I haven't heard the audio anywhere. I've just seen it printed out. And I think that's going to play a key factor in what's going on. So the Chiefs have basically suspended Larry Johnson indefinitely. My own words is the suspension, but their words are they've advised him to refrain from participating with the Chiefs or with any team activities. That includes lifting weights, running sprints, and obviously on the practice field. Tony, your call's awesome, man. I want to hook you up. So just tell me how you became a Chiefs fan and how you're staying loyal despite all these hard times, and I'll send you a military hat.
I was born into it. I'm still a Royals fan, too, so that tells you how much I like punishment.
Well, then you know all about our utility lineman, Wade Smith, who I've been calling Willie Bloomquist over and over for his ability to play pretty much anywhere.
I started a Chiefs fan when we had Kenny as our quarterback. So back in the old days, when we would lose all the time anyway. So I got to see the glory of the 90s.
Yeah, so you've
that helped.
Yeah, you've seen the good and now the bad. So Tony, thanks for your call. Hang on the line, Brad G is going to get your address and I'll send you out a military cap. And again, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate you hanging on while we read that statement by the Chiefs on Larry Johnson.
No problem, man. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Tony. For those of you just joining us here on KCChiefs.com, Chiefs Live, I'm going to read the statement one more time in case you know it probably hit the Twitter waves and everything, and people may just be flowing here to the website. The Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL, both the team and the league, are continuing to investigate the alleged comments made by Larry Johnson. Until that review is complete, the Chiefs have instructed Larry to refrain from practicing with the Chiefs, no practice with the Chiefs, or participating in any team activities, film, weights, sprints, anything on our campus, lunch, that all that is a team activity. All of that counts. A decision regarding Larry's status will be made once the investigation has concluded. There's no timetable on that. Obviously, the Chiefs and and the NFL are acting in a responsive manner, I would think. This is less than 24 hours after Coach Haley talked to the media yesterday regarding Larry Johnson, and there's already a statement. And there is a the last sentence there, I think, is key. A decision regarding Larry's status, meaning his permanent status, will be made once the investigation has concluded. So there will be another step into this. But right now, Larry is not in the building. He is not practicing, and he is not doing anything associated with the team. LJ's comments on Coach Haley have opened and we'll get to this caller in a second, have opened not only a door to get fans upset with some offensive comments he's allegedly made, but it's also challenged Coach Haley as his credentials as a football coach. I felt for Haley yesterday. That's a very uncomfortable position for a coach to be in. And what is really an extended version of a post-game press conference. Coach Haley was there having to address how he got to the NFL, his history as a golf coach, and if that matters in his ability to coach a football team. It's stuff that he's talked about in the past, but it's definitely not something that you see after week 7 on a Monday. And all the on-field struggles is probably what Coach wanted to talk about, and he had to sit there and talk about personal things. Brad, do we have cuts about Coach Haley and his comments on not playing football and how he got to the NFL?
We do have that. You want to take it to the phone call first, or you want to take it to Haley?
I want to go to Haley real quick here. John's going to talk about Lance Long, and we'll get on him in here in a second. But I'd like to finish this this thing with Coach Haley and LJ.
How you doing, everyone? I realize there are probably going to be a lot of questions about a player of ours. At this time, we're looking into a couple situations, and I will not have further comment on that. I will say that how our players conduct themselves with the media and through the media is very important to myself as the head coach and to the Chiefs as an organization. That being said, again, I appreciate your curiosity and desire to get information, but that's where I'll leave that situation and kind of get back to football, which right now we're 1-2 in the second quarter of the season.
Todd, do you feel like you have the full and unquestioned faith or trust of your locker room?
I feel, like I said, when you have at 1-5 your best week of practice, I think that's pretty encouraging sign. I feel very good about the progress this team is making. It was not reflected in our performance yesterday, and that's the disappointing part. I'm very encouraged with the effort that was given on the field yesterday in all areas. I don't think effort was an issue. And I think that's evidenced by a couple goal line stands. If you watch the tape when there's an interception and you see 300-pound linemen diving to try to knock a guy out of bounds at the one-yard line and fight until the last minute of that game, I think those are all encouraging signs that we got some guys that care and that are working to get better. Again, unfortunately, would I like to have more wins? Could we have more wins? I'd definitely like to have more wins. I'd definitely not like to be sitting here at 1-6. But again, this is a process. Losing is not going to be accepted in any way, shape, or form, and we're going to get back to work tomorrow on trying to get this team better.
Well, that's Coach Haley right there addressing a very uncomfortable situation for a head coach to have to address. I do want to say, let's not get this confused, though. Coach Haley has taken the traditional path to an NFL head coach once he got into the league. He didn't play in high school. He didn't play in college. But he also had kind of a situation that's very unique and priceless, in my opinion, is he spent countless hours in a film room growing up in his youth with one of the best NFL personal men of all time and his father, Dick Haley. He was a ball boy for the Steelers, those great teams. So even though he didn't play, he grew up on football. And sometimes, having played myself, I can see how people would say, well, you need to play the game to understand the game. But I also don't have a father that is a genius when it comes to looking at film and deciding what great is. And I mean, let's face it, some of the best NFL head coaches were scrubs when they played college football. They were just guys, and they just went there to be like, yeah, I played some college football. Or maybe they didn't play college football, and they were just there to learn to watch the film. A lot of guys, perfect example, Brian Schottenheimer, Marty Schottenheimer's son. He goes to Florida to learn under Steve Spurrier. He knew he wasn't going to play quarterback at Florida. He never played quarterback, but he went there to learn from Steve Spurrier. That was the whole reason he went there, to become a coach, to be groomed by one of the best quarterback coaches and one of the best offensive minds in the college football game over the last 100 years. That's why Brian Schottenheimer went to Florida. Well, Coach Haley, that guy went to college to do that. Coach Haley got to experience that throughout his youth. Anyway, once he did get into the NFL, he took a traditional path. 1995, he basically starts as a coffee runner. He's a scouting assistant with the Jets. You know, there's no coaching duties involved. Pete Carroll goes out. Bill Parcells comes in. So he turns into what they call a 20-20 guy. That's a quality control guy. It's 20 hours a day of work, $20,000 a year. I don't know if that's the money they earn, but that's a term that's used to describe quality control coaches in the NFL. Basically, they do a ton of work and don't get paid very well. And so it's almost like an extended internship, a full-time internship. So he goes and becomes from a coffee runner scouting assistant to a quality control guy, a 20-20 guy. Then he's able to become a position coach in 99 and 2000. So the Jets are lousy. They turned in 4 wins over the previous 2 seasons that Haley, before he became a position coach, and something clicks. They go 9-7. And then the next year, they register 12 wins, claim an NFC East title. They lose in the AFC Championship game. So Todd Haley saw a turnaround with the New York Jets. Where does he go from then? He's a position coach of the Jets, position coach to the Chicago Bears, 2001. He's with the Bears. Marty Booker turns in career years that he hasn't been able to duplicate since Haley left him. The Bears were coming out back-to-back, fifth-place finishes in the NFC Central. They go 13-3. And Haley helps them get their first division title since 1990. Hey, Brad, guess who the coach was in 1990? Ditka.
No, there you go.
Ditka. So Ditka's, and then he goes into, so he goes from, let's review here, scouting assistant, coffee runner, 2020 guy, position coach. Then he goes to Dallas. Bill Parcells there again. He's a passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach. They end up going to the playoffs. I wish we had this play. They came out back-to-back 5-win seasons. What do? They have a great year, and they probably go farther in the playoffs if it wasn't for Tony Romo, who for some reason everybody around here loves to hate. I don't have any opinion on the guy, but Tony Romo drops that extra point snap, muffs it up in that Seattle playoff game in 2006, and that ultimately ends the Cowboys season. And then we all know what happens when Haley goes from passing game quarter slash receivers coach. He becomes offensive coordinator in Arizona, and obviously you're going to be a hot commodity when you lead a team to their first NFL title game since 1947, their first division title since, 75, and their first winning season over 23 years. Obviously, you're going to become a hot commodity. He was, and the Chiefs plucking to be head coach. So Coach Haley, to me, his coaching credentials and background aren't in question. I'll let you guys form your own opinion on that. We do have a guy on the line here. I lost his card with his name on it, but I'm sure you plug him in and he'll tell me his name. What's going on?
It's John in Wichita.
John, what's going on, man?
Oh, not a lot.
Here you are, John in Wichita.
Questions, man.
What's that again? Sorry, they turned the audio off for a second. Go ahead.
Lance Long. Saw that they'd signed him to the from the practice squad to the active roster. He had a couple of catches on Sunday. How big of an impact do you think he's going to be, knowing that he knows Haley's offense from Arizona? You know, do you see him being a long time slot receiver, or do you see him actually getting out to the outside?
Great call. I think he's a slot guy, and I think that we saw a very interesting move with his promotion from the practice squad to the active roster. Bobby Engram goes down. He's inactive that last game. It's the second time Bobby Engram's been inactive in three games. Raises questions to where Bobby Engram fits in this scheme. Haley wanted to give a good look at Lance Long, which Engram is a reliable receiver, but he's towards the end of his years. Lance Long's a young guy, and he can do something that Engram can't do, and that's play on nearly every single special teams unit. When you have receivers that are lower down in the totem pole on your looks, they need to be able to play special teams. So I think Lance Long is going to get a good long look. I think that was part of what we saw in the game. Now, where he fits in the future, I'm not certain. I think we need a bigger sample size. He showed me that he can be an exciting player. He almost had an excellent catch that just barely dropped in the end zone, and he was running around making plays until ultimately he got knocked a little cuckoo by Dobbins coming across the middle. But I think that we'll get Alan Pellegrino here to give us the practice report and see if he returned to practice today. But he's a guy who I think can be exciting. Whether the future, I think that, you know, it's too early. I think, I think that the book's not written on Lance Long yet. What did he do, John, that got you excited about him?
Well, it was, I do a lot of reading on NFL.com, and he was one of the people that was in the, that like spotlights on some guys that were close to making the team.
Yeah.
And seeing that he was, you know, cut by Arizona, the first place I knew he would be probably picked up was by the Chiefs because of Todd Haley.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just one of those guys I'm watching, you know, because I watched Arizona a lot last year and saw how, you know, how a young guy like him could, you know, could fit into an offense, you know, like Todd Haley's. So it was just keeping my eye on him and, you know, wanting to see how good he could do in Haley's offense with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think if he turns out to be a reliable possession guy, he could have he's young, he could have a decent career here. And like I said, he reminded me of Mark Boerichter. He's a different size, a different style runner, but he was getting open and making some hustle plays. And I think that if he can kind of turn into a Boerichter type, he could be here for the next few years. And the NFL.com stuff, you said, there was I can't remember what it was called. It was like making the team or on the brink. It was something about
on the brink. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. People need to look that up, and it's in the NFL.com archives. It was basically just highlighting their run through training camp and these guys that were just on the verge of either making a roster or getting cut. And it was excellent. And you say you read NFL.com a lot. Sam Weish, he wrote a thing on the day that we played Philadelphia, and I talked to him down on the field that day that the Chiefs could be promoting Lance Long from the practice squad at any time. And, you know, it took about almost a month later, but Sam was right. And I think that Lance Long was a positive. John, before you go, tell me how you became a Chiefs fan and how you're keeping a positive outlook on this year, and I'll send you a military hat.
Well, it's actually a funny story. For the longest time, through the Elway years, I was a Broncos fan. And uh-oh. I kind of...
Okay, I'm not sending you a hat anymore.
After he left, I started following Donovan McNabb because of the way he plays. Well, my dad has been a very long-time Chiefs fan, and talking with him about players and moves and everything, I just started watching the Chiefs more so I could have things to talk with him about. And this year, I actually became a Chiefs fan this year, which a lot of people say, you picked a really great year to become a Chiefs fan. But I absolutely, you know, with the changes with Pioli and Haley and bringing Matt Castle in, I have absolutely just been obsessed with watching the Chiefs and trying to make sure that, you know, that I can get as much as I can to, you know, see and hopefully just watch and see how good they become.
Well, you're in a great spot because the Chiefs can only go up from where you started
exactly.
Watching them. And good, you're a new fan, so you'll get hopefully one of the first of many Chiefs apparel mailed to you. So stay on the line, and Brad G will take your address from you, and I'll get that mailed out to you this afternoon.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot, John. Moving on in the show here as we still wait for Adam Pellegrino to give us our practice report. Larry Johnson, I'm reading on the online here that he's issued an apology. Pro Football Talk has and Kent Babb have both linked to Larry Johnson's apology. I'll just open up the Pro Football Talk thing here since we talked about what the Chiefs are doing. Excuse me, what the Chiefs are doing, keeping keeping LJ away from the team. LJ has issued an apology on Pro Football Talk. I'll read it. Quote from LJ: "First of all, I want to apologize to the fans of the Kansas City Chiefs and the rest of the NFL, Commissioner Goodell, the Chiefs organization, Coach Haley, his staff, and my teammates for the words I used yesterday." This was a statement issued by LJ's agent. "I regret my actions. The words were used by me in frustration, and they were not appropriate. I did not intend to offend anyone, but there is no excuse for the things that I said. I also want to apologize to all the kids who view athletes as role models. I was not a good role model yesterday, and hopefully I can become a better role model. We all make mistakes, and the challenge is to learn from them. I will do my best to learn from them. I'll do my best to learn from this one as I move toward becoming a better person, teammate, and member of the Kansas City Chiefs team and community." So you've heard from Larry Johnson. That's his statement that he's issued, his apology, off from his agent. That's straight from his agent. That's on Pro Football Talk. If you want to go read that. And then for those of you joining us late here, the Chiefs issued a statement on Larry Johnson as well. "The Kansas City Chiefs and the National Football League are continuing to investigate the alleged comments made by Larry Johnson. Until that review is complete, the Chiefs have instructed Larry to refrain from practicing with the Chiefs or participating in any team activities. No practice, no meals, no sprints, no anything. A decision regarding Larry's status will be made once the investigation has concluded." I've had some Twitter people on here saying, "What investigation? What are the Chiefs talking about? It's as clear as day as what he said." I think the investigation is into some of the things he said in the locker room yesterday. That's been in print. No one's seen or heard from it, though. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. But I think that it'd be a rash decision to go ahead and jump to a conclusion on that. Obviously, the Chiefs are being proactive with this, issuing a release and a statement less than 24 hours after Coach Haley had to speak on the matter. And what, 36? Less 36 or 48 hours than the initial words of LJ happened. And the things that happened in the locker room yesterday would have been just about 24 hours ago to this minute. Do we have Adam on the line from the practice? We don't have him yet. Okay, we're still waiting on a practice report. I do want to talk about some on-field activities with the Chiefs, because ultimately that is the most important thing. The most interesting thing I can say, I guess you can say, are the most relevant things to the fans is to talk about LJ, and we'll continue talking about LJ, but I do want to get the practice report and find out how all of our injured guys are doing. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the guys that will replace Larry Johnson if indeed he is suspended or ultimately released from this team. You've got two guys on the team right now. You've got Jamaal Charles, and you've got Colby Smith. Jamaal Charles is a very frustrating back. He reminds me a lot of Tyler Thigpen. He's feast or famine. Jamaal Charles is going to give you those explosive runs. Two runs that we saw on Sunday, which were basically some of the only highlights of the game. Jamaal Charles is going to give you explosive plays. He's going to give you lightning plays. But he's also going to run a wrong route. He's going to miss a block. He may fumble. So he's feast or famine with Jamaal Charles. Is he a guy who can handle 20 carries a game? Everyone says no. Everyone says he can't. I'm never quick to write a guy off. He's probably going to get his chance, because I could see Larry. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but you've got to think that Jamaal is going to get a little bit more chance going forward. Then you've got Colby Smith, who's the guy who's been injured. I think he's ready to go. Good thing for the Chiefs in this situation that Colby is ability to be active. Now, they haven't made a decision with Colby. If you're not completely familiar with the PUP rules, the Chiefs are 1 week into a three-week window where they can evaluate Colby Smith. Ultimately, within the next 2 weeks, they need to make a decision to activate Colby or put him on IR, or they could release him. IR would effectively be in Colby Smith's season, and if they activate him, they'd have to make a roster move to bump Colby Smith up. They don't have to do it at the end of 2 weeks. They could do it today, they could do it tomorrow, they could do it Thursday, but they have 2 weeks to make that decision. Looks like we do have Pellegrino on the line.
Yep. Josh, speak of Speaking of up and coming stars. The NFL, we do have Adam Pellegrino on the
line. And Adam, you know what, man? The people who watch Chiefs Live on a regular basis, they know you when the Tyler Thigpen trade broke. I had to take the phone call, and you came on here and talked about Eli Manning and how the Giants offense is not all about Eli Manning. Isn't that right, Pellegrino?
Josh, I'm coming for your seat. You know that.
Well, what do you see on the practice field, man? We've learned from the statement from the Chiefs that LJ's kind of been instructed to refrain from all team activity. So we know he's not out there. Quentin Lawrence, was he out there today?
Quentin Lawrence, I did see him. He's padded up. They are wearing full pads today, and Quentin Lawrence is back at it.
Okay, so Lawrence is back at it. Now, tell me about the guys in the rehab area. Who's hurt right now at practice?
I tell you, no one is on the bikes right now. I did see John McGraw walking. He's not in pads. But John McGraw. Rudy Neiswanger, I have not seen yet. He's not out here.
Probably
didn't
have me looked at.
He could be inside. Besides that, no one on the bikes. No other injuries to report.
So with Rudy out right now, did you see any lineups for offense? Was Wade Smith running center?
Yeah, and the reps that I saw, Wade Smith was at center.
Okay.
And then at running back, saw Jamal Charles and Dantrell Savage taking reps. Okay. Wade Smith is here, but I haven't seen him taking any reps yet.
Interesting. Good to know. So he may not be quite ready. He said that 2 weeks. Well, anything else breaking, Adam? This is good stuff, man.
Well, besides that, can't tell you anything too interesting that you haven't already told everyone.
Well, it's bye week practice. Go figure, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. That's Adam Pellegrino from KCChiefs.com calling in from the practice field. He's out there covering practice on behalf of me since, really, I can't be in two places at once. So to recap, Wade Smith is playing center in place of Rudy Neiswanger, who was not seen at all in practice. John McGraw was not in full pads like the rest of the team. Quentin Lawrence returns to the practice field today. Larry Johnson, we saw the statement, is not at practice. And Jamal Charles and Dantrell Savage are taking the reps at running back. Colby Smith is out there, but not getting. He didn't see him getting a lot of work. So is Colby Smith ready or not? That's probably something that Coach Haley will be asked today in his press conference, which will be on live here on KCChiefs.com at 1:40 p.m. 1:40 p.m. Central Time. So what do the Chiefs do? If Larry can't go, if Larry's released, if Larry's suspended, what do they do? Right now it's Jamal Charles, Dantrell Savage. Well, those are two guys that are pretty similar. They're third down back types. What's out there in free agency? That's your next question. I pulled up a list of backs that are available on the street right now. There's a ton of big names out here. A ton of big names. But the problem is, a lot of them are just like Jamal Charles. They're second type backs. Work done. Probably has a few years left in him. Not going to be a feature back anymore. Dominic Rhodes, he's a surprise release. He's the closest thing you have out there. A guy who I personally like, one of my favorites, he's just like Jamal Charles, and he went to the same school, and he ran all over the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago when he came in here with the Denver Broncos. Selvin Young is a free agent. That's a guy who's young, who I personally like. I'm very surprised that he is still out there as a free agent, but he's a change of pace back. He's just a change of pace back. That's all he is, and that's basically what Dantrell Savage is, so there's probably not a need for Selvin Young. You've got a pair of former New Orleans Saints, both guys that could be second back, some injury issues. Those guys are Aaron Stecker and Deuce McAllister. Deshaun Foster, he could find work as a second back, I think. These Najee Davenport, Rudy Johnson, Michael Pittman, he's in the UFL. Tatum Bell, another former Bronco. Maurice Hicks, Avian Kaysen, both of those guys can return kicks. There's a lot of guys out there, but there's not a workhorse. So I think that depending on what the Chiefs do with Larry Johnson, in his absence, if there is one, I think you can expect to see a 50-50 split between Jamal Charles and another back. If that other back's on the street, or if that other back is Colby Smith. But I think you're going to see a running back by committee, and that's something that we'll learn a lot more from Todd Haley about. Greg is on the line. He is from Maryland. And, Greg, first off, since you're out of state, man, tell me all the way from Maryland how you're a Chiefs fan, how you're staying loyal in this thing. And I've got one hat left to send out, and I'll get you that in the mail. Then we'll talk O-line.
Hey, Josh. Love what you're doing with the show.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Been a fan for about 18 years now. Well, I live in Maryland. They didn't have a team when I picked a team, just followed the Chiefs. this last couple of years have been painful, but I plan to stick with them. I love them to death. And I've just got to be positive with the few bright spots we have. Flowers, Castle, Bowen, I just got to hope that Scott and Haley know what they're doing.
Well, you know, Scott's got NFL Personnel Man of the Decade trophies and three Super Bowl trophies, so we'd hope that we got the right guy in here knowing what he's doing. So I have faith seven games into it. It's easy to lose perspective, but we were a two-win team. The fans demanded change, and we've got change. So let's let change run its course. And then if in a year or two or 3 years, we can look back and see where we're at. But right now is not the time to be raising the pitchforks and fires, despite how bad it is. So what you want to talk a little bit of O-line, Greg? What's going on, man?
Yeah, I just feel that that has been a weak spot since day one, and I just want to know why they didn't address it. And you cannot tell me that John Runyon and Levi Jones aren't better than Wade Smith and Rudy Nussbaumer. I mean, come on.
I can't tell you that, Greg. I can't tell you that about John Runyon, because he's a better player than both the players you mentioned. But what I can tell you is that John Runyon has worked out for the Chiefs, and he's worked out for a number of teams. Now, did he end up signing anywhere yet?
No, Runyon's still free.
Okay. So he's been free for a while and has had a lot of workouts. So that tells me one of two things. Either John Runyon can't pass a physical because of that knee, or John Runyon's asking for far too much money compared to what not just one team, not just two teams. I think he's worked out for five teams or so, what those five teams think he's worth. So that's what I would tell you about John Runyon and why he's not with the Chiefs. I don't know personally about his situation other than those two scenarios, and I think that it's safe to say one of those two things is going on. It's either his health or it's his asking price.
Another thing, I just don't see how they're going to be able to fix this whole line, because next year you're going to have an uncapped year, and that means all the unrestricted free agents, offensive linemen that we're going to be, are going to become restricted.
Yeah.
I just don't see where it's going to get fixed.
Yeah, we're in a rock and a hard place for sure, Greg. There's not a lot out there right now. You mentioned two of the guys. they're on the street for a reason. The Chiefs released Damian McIntosh. It's the example I keep using. David McIntosh can't make this team, okay? But he goes out and is one of the most sought-after free agent tackles on the market immediately. He ends up signing with Seattle, I believe, a few weeks ago, and that just tells you about what's out on the street right now. Now, what was out there in the offseason, all the stuff I read, my memory fades, but the Chiefs probably could have addressed some of those needs. I think they tried to. They got a guy in Mike Goff who a lot of fans are a bit frustrated with, but they got a guy in Mike Goff who was at a division rival that saw Sproles and Tomlinson run all over the field, and who has been a reliable guy who hasn't missed a start in now 113 straight games. It goes way back into when he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. So they addressed it with him. Pioli scrambled around a bit, made the trade for Andy Allman and Ike Ndukwe. Ike Ndukwe is an interesting guy. He starts at right tackle and then loses the job to O'Callaghan and is kind of nowhere to be heard from anymore. I thought he was okay out there. Let's think about it. He was a starting right tackle. Wade Smith goes in at left tackle for Albert. Nyswanger goes down. Ndukwe doesn't come in at left tackle. They shift Wade Smith over to center and then bring in Barry Richardson, who was on the practice squad 2 weeks ago, and they bring him in to play left tackle. So where does that leave Ndukwe? I'm not sure. We're probably going to learn a lot more about Andy Allman with the way the Chiefs are banged up on the front and the way Wade Smith's asked to be playing 15 different positions along that offensive line. Andy Allman's a guy who is probably going to be called to duty. He's already filled in for Goff a little bit. And then at center, I think we'll learn a little bit about him, especially if Wade Smith, if something happens with Brandon Albert and Wade Smith has to start at left tackle once again, you could put Allman at center. So it's pretty tough situation, and I think it's something that has to be addressed in the draft. I think there's no quick fix to it. Greg, you're 100% correct. We're in a rock and a hard spot, and I think this is the start of a lot of our problems is up front, and that's right. And I can't argue with anything you said other than the John Runyon thing. That's just my opinion why he's not on our roster or a number of other rosters in the NFL. If Greg, if you're still on the line, I lost my audio here for a second. If you're still on the line, hang on. Brad G, he will get your address, and I'll send you out that military hat. Thanks for your call, man. I really do appreciate it. Wow, 12:59. We are about out of time. I do want to do one little rant here. I had it prepared. Is that okay, Brad? Do we have time for one?
Always time for a good rant, Josh.
Okay, the rant that really, really bothers me. And it bothers me a lot. It bothers me with Chiefs fans. It bothers me with my friends. And it bothers me with a lot of respected media people that I talk to on a daily basis. It deals with Todd Haley calling plays and being the head coach. Now, Chiefs fans, a lot of you I know, he can't do both. If you make that argument, make the argument about something about Todd Haley that why he can't do it. About him. Because just like the West Coast knows about gadgets before we do and the East Coast has the fashion before we do, that's the knock on the Midwest. We're always behind the times. If you make the argument that a head coach can't do both, you are so far behind the times, it's not even funny. Hello, guess what? The Chiefs are the last team in the entire AFC West to have their head coach call plays. Yeah, Tom Cable does it. Josh McDaniels does it. North Turner does it. Yeah, you know who else does it? I got a whole list. I wrote about it a while ago. You got guys calling their defensive plays. This isn't anything new in the league. Andy Reid did it when he was a rookie head coach. Plenty of rookie head coaches can do it. Some of them can handle it. Some of them can't handle it. If you want to make an argument that Todd Haley can't handle it, make the argument that Todd Haley can't handle it. That's fine. But I'm hearing far too many people think that this is just some sort of foreign concept that, oh my gosh, we've got a coach calling his own plays. Hello, Mike McCarthy, Kent Wisenhunt, Brad Childress, Sean Payton, Jim Zorn until 2 weeks ago when the Chiefs came in and beat him. It happens. It happens. We're behind the times, guys, if we think that this is some sort of new thing in the NFL. It's new to Kansas City. It's not new to the NFL. So when you call in the radio shows, when you talk to me about it, tell me why Todd Haley can't do it. Tell me why him as a rookie coach, why he can't do it compared to Andy Reid when he was a rookie head coach. Do some research. What's the difference between the two guys? Is it because of the team that we have inherited? Well, Andy Reid had a team that's inherited similar. Is it because Todd Haley doesn't have experience calling plays? Well, he called the plays that led an Arizona Cardinals team to the Super Bowl. Find me some reasons why Todd Haley as a person can't handle it, because the argument that a head coach can't do both, a rookie head coach can't do both, is irrelevant to me, because it's happened a lot in the NFL. Some guys have failed, some guys have passed, but it's not something new. That is all I've got. We'll talk a little bit more on the blog later this week about the injury status of a lot of guys. No surprise, Larry Johnson carried the cake today. I want to thank everybody for calling into the Chiefs Live call-in show. We'll keep you updated on kcchiefs.com all through the week on any news surrounding Larry Johnson. Obviously, if you're just joining us now, the team has suspended Larry Johnson. They did not use that word. That is my word. They have instructed him to refrain from all practices and team activities until investigation is concluded by both the NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs. That means no practice, no coming to the facility for film, no eating with his teammates here at the facility, no sprints, no weight room, no anything. LJ's hanging out at his house or wherever he is, and that is the Chiefs' stance right now. There was also a statement issued by LJ, an apology from his agent. That's on ProFootballTalk.com. You can go and check that out. That broke during our show as well. The other bit of news that broke during the show, if you can call it breaking news, Quentin Lawrence joins the Chiefs on the practice squad. He was released in order to bring Lance Long back up. So that's your Chiefs news from today. And you want to hear from Todd Haley live, be the first to hear it. 1:40 p.m. is when we will go live. We got to hurry up and set up for that. 1:40 p.m., that's his press conference, and I'm sure Coach Haley will talk about the Larry Johnson situation. You guys are awesome as always. Thanks for the calls all across the Chiefs kingdom. We love you, and we'll see you next time on kcchiefs.com.